So Acts chapter 5, and we will pick up in verse 21 where we left off last week. But before we do, as always, let us pray to God, ask him to speak to us through his word. Father, you've given us your word, that we would read it. You've given it to us that we would understand it. And so we pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would give us deep understanding into these truths. And we thank you that you've given us your word. Lord, that it does encourage us and it does correct us in our lives. And so we would do ourselves well to remain in your word on a daily basis. And so for that reason, we've come this morning, yes, certainly to fellowship, yes, to enjoy a meal, but Lord, more importantly, to feed on your word. So I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts, speak into our lives, that we would make those adjustments, God, that we would be more like your son, Jesus, the perfect one. So bless this time as we study your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning I want to talk about obedience. Obedience. I think it's a very important thing that we as followers of Christ are obedient to Christ. That's why even in my prayer you heard it. Reading the word of God to know what it is God wants us to do and how we are to live. And so with that mindset, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible has a lot to say about obedience. The Ten Commandments themselves show us how important the concept of obedience is to God. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. God specifically gives us 10 things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. We would do ourselves well to follow those. And we can sum up the Ten Commandments in this statement here. Obey and you will be blessed. Disobey and you will be cursed. Seems strong, doesn't it? But it's important to understand it. That if we are obedient to God, our lives will be filled with blessings. We never want to think that, or let people think that being a Christian is a bummer, is a downer. Being a Christian should be something that brings us elation, that brings us such joy to know that we are under the care of God and under the instructions of God. There was many years, 26 years of my life, I lived for Rob. I lived for myself. I did what I wanted. But the day I gave my life to Christ, I began to follow him. And I continued to do that to this day. And so obedience is something that we will expect God to bless us if we're obedient. Jesus said it himself, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments, if you love me. So obedience is an act of love towards God to say, I'm submitting to your authority. And it should be a willing submission. It's not forced. God doesn't force you. God asks you, if you want to be blessed, follow me. Jesus set that perfect example as he came into the earth and lived the perfect life in total obedience to his heavenly Father, right? So certainly, we should expect that in our own lives as well. Listen to this. Biblical obedience is hearing God's word and acting accordingly. I like that. Simple definition. Again, hearing God's word and acting accordingly. So whether you're hearing it from a pulpit, you're hearing it from a radio message, or you're reading it in the word of God, when you hear the word of God, you must act upon it, right? Otherwise, what do we call it? We call that hardening our hearts. We hear the truth, but we don't receive the truth. We don't accept the truth. And I'm sure as we're talking about obedience, every one of us in this room are going, am I obedient to God? You know, I was talking to someone this morning, and it's real easy to say, yeah, I'm obedient in that area. I'm obedient in that area. But over in this area, not so much. See, God wants total obedience, total surrender to him. The psalmist said it this way, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I can't tell you the number of people I've heard pray this verse. So powerful. Again, your word, the word of God says this about itself. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Anybody wondering where their path is? Anybody feel like they're in darkness, not knowing where they're going? Guess what? Daily. Daily, right? Maybe you don't want to admit it, but sometimes we go through life going, God, where am I going? What am I doing? Am I supposed to go to the left or am I supposed to go to the right? Am I supposed to move forward? Am I supposed to stand still? That's obedience to listening to the voice of God. My friends, this is God's voice. For many Christians, they say, well, I never hear from God. Really? That tells me you don't read his word. Because truly, if you're reading it, you're hearing God's voice. So his word is a lamp to my feet. It shows me where to go. It's a light to my path where he wants us. It reveals his will for you and for me. It's so important. The more we make scripture a part of our lives, the better we will hear God's voice and his will. Timber. It happens. Right? The more we make scripture a part of our lives, how are you personally getting God's word into you? Is it someone else's responsibility, or is it your responsibility? I submit to you, it's your responsibility. It's great to read the Word of God every day. It's great to do a devotion that maybe has a verse and then a description. Fine. But you have to be doing something. You have to be active in getting the Word of God into you. Because let me tell you what happens when the Word is in you. It comes out of you. And if the Word of God touches you in such a powerful way, you can't wait but to help share it with someone else. I can't tell you the number of people in my life, friends of mine, that will get a devotion that they read, and either they'll take a picture of the devotion and text it to me, or they'll type it up and send it, or this verse spoke to me, I want to share it with you, because that's what happens. We love God's word so much that we want others to receive it. And so don't be the person that's only on the receiving end. Be the person that's actually also on the offensive, that's giving it out. God speaks his word to you, changes you, but it shouldn't stop there. You should share it with others. So encouraging. The title of this morning's message, if it wasn't already up there, don't give up on obedience. Don't give up on obedience, because in the text that we're going to be reading, the religious leaders are putting a lot of pressure, and we're going to see it, a lot of pressure on the apostles. Because they are out there, again, the new church has been born, Jesus is gone, and Jesus says, go out and preach the word. Go out and share the gospel. And they're doing it, and the religious leaders are not happy with it. And so they're going to do some stuff to them to try to get them to stop sharing the word of God. Guys, there will be a lot of opposition in your life when it comes to sharing the word of God. You got to be careful doing it, maybe at your workplace, right? You got to be careful. But that doesn't mean you can't be used by God to do it. Don't let difficult situations stop you from being a witness for Christ. And I'm not saying be a preacher. I'm not saying be someone that just stands in a corner proclaiming doom and damnation. I'm saying be a lover of God and be willing to share the love of Christ with others. That's the heart that God gives to us. That's the heart that's there. Paul said it to Timothy in this way. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy was a young believer, and he probably got a lot of flack for being a young guy. But Paul said, be diligent in the word of God so that you'll be ready to give an answer in that time. It's so important to read it. And Paul knew that for Timothy, it needed to be something that happened in his life on the regular. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy that he is to be skillful in understanding the God's word. I'm sure there's people in here that when you read scripture, you're like, I don't understand what that says. Have you ever read scripture and I don't understand what that says? Number one, it's okay not to understand. But number two, right then you should say, God, show me what this means. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. The Holy Spirit that's inside you is there to enlighten the Word of God to you. If that doesn't happen, certainly reach out to others. It's funny. I've been ministering to a young girl who's starting a business. I think I've shared about her before in the past. And she keeps texting me, like, what does this verse mean? And what does this text mean? And what is this idea? Have you ever heard of this? What does that mean? And, which I love. But at the same time, I want her to rely on God more than rely on me. Does that make sense? Because if our reliance upon a person is stronger than our reliance upon God, you'll get disappointed, won't you? Because honestly, she asked me a question 2 weeks ago, and I totally forgot to answer. Can you believe it? I forgot to answer. Pastor Rahab made a mistake. I get a text 2 weeks later from her, don't worry about that question, I already got it answered. You want to talk about the conviction that was on my heart?
It's like, oh, I didn't respond.
But the beautiful thing is, when God reveals truth to you, you will remember it a lot more than when man reveals it to you. Amen? When God shows you something, I love when you're reading through the Word of God and you're like, I have never seen that before. Wow, that is so cool. I mean, God's revealing and exposing it to you. That's the importance of it. So again, as believers, it's not a, what is it? It's not a rule to read your Bible. It should be a joy to read your Bible, right? It should be a pleasure. I mean, Calvary Chapels are known for reading the Word of God. So hopefully that's a reason you've come to a Calvary Chapel, because you know the Word of God is going to be read and talked about. And that's what we need to make sure it happens, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights, but every single day. And listen, don't beat yourself up when you miss a day. I can get so convicted sometimes when I go through the whole day and I'm like, man, I was so busy, I didn't even open my Bible. A pastor that doesn't open his Bible. I'm as human as you. Sorry to say. What's that? Just for the record, what? Oh, you do know, okay. You more than most, probably. I know. As Paul is talking to young Timothy, I want you to think about this, because sometimes we think it's hard as Christians to submit, to be obedient to God. We live in a world that's godless, right? So it's hard. But for young Timothy, he grew up with a Greek father, a Jewish mother, but a Greek father. So he grew up believing in Greek and Roman gods his whole life. And here comes Paulus on the scene, and he shares Christ with him, and now he's telling him how to live for Jesus. Study his word. You know how hard that must have been to switch his entire thinking to something new? He had to start over from square one, and many of us in this room for many years lived a certain way, and then when we got saved, we had to start over from square one, rethink about all the things that we thought we knew were truth are no longer that. So it's not easy. No one's saying it's easy. But it's saying it's something that's important for us to do. The apostles had a choice when it came to obedience. They chose not to give up on being obedient to Jesus no matter what the pressure was. And so I want to speak this morning to the pressures of life that are on you to abandon your faith and trust in man. Because that's really what we deal with, isn't it, on a day-to-day basis as believers? So don't give up on obedience. We're going to see, and we're going to read this. It would have been very easy for the apostles to go, this is way too hard. I'm out. But no, they loved Jesus so much that they were going to be obedient, even to the point of death. And that's the thing I think that's the hardest for us. These guys were ready to lay their lives down. And quite frankly, for many of us, in the church today, the New Testament church, the new day, to give our lives up for Christ is an idea that I don't think we can even fully fathom. Oh, we'll sacrifice a little here, we'll sacrifice a little there, but don't mess with my kingdom, God. Right? It's all about surrender. So let's look. I'm going to look at verse 21. We read it a little bit last week, but I want to, for context, read it again. Acts chapter 5, verse 21 says, actually, go back to verse 20, sorry. the angel of the Lord says this to the disciples, go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of life. So that was the command from God. Verse 21, and when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. So we see immediate obedience. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison door shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. And so the first thing that we see here, again, if you weren't here last week, we're picking up, or the week before, I think it was, we're picking up from the disciples were put in prison, and then the angel of the Lord comes and released them. Now, we didn't realize it when we read it that time, but this was an absolute miracle of God. Again, because when the council comes back, the doors are securely locked. The guards are there. So God did a miraculous work in the apostles' life. And isn't that a wonderful thing to think? That God can do the miraculous in our lives. So they should have been very encouraged that God did this. Because it wasn't like the doors opened, the guards were struck down. No, I mean, this was a miracle that God just took them out of this prison. So when it comes to don't give up on obedience, the first thing I want you to think about is obedience must be immediate. We talked about this a little bit last, but obedience must be immediate. Listen, delayed obedience is called disobedience, right? If we're obedient later, after things maybe go our way, after things maybe don't go our way, and then we're obedient, how much credit can we get for that? Because if we knew in the beginning that we were to be obedient and we weren't, then that's disobedience. And it's hard to hear, isn't it? That we made mistakes. But here's the thing about God. He knew you were going to make the mistake already. So don't sweat it. Just get going. But obedience should be immediate. And that's why I think it's important for us to understand God's voice, to be able to understand God's word in such a way that when he says something or does something, we know it's him, and then there should be no question. The trouble becomes when the connection with God in your relationship with God is a little bit unclear, and then you go, was that God or wasn't that God? Is that the devil or is it the enemy? Is it the enemy or is it the Lord? Jesus says, my sheep, what? Know my voice. You need to know the voice of God in order to be obedient. Now, God is gracious enough that if you don't hear it correctly, he'll correct you, right? I'm grateful for that. Because then we're not living a life, if I make a mistake, I'm in big trouble. No, if you make a mistake, God is gracious. God is loving. He shows his mercy. But it's good to be obedient to me. And that's what the apostles were. They were immediately obedient. Again, verse 20 says, go, stand in the temple and preach the words of life. Verse 21 says, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. So they were immediately obedient. Immediate obedience takes practice. And let me tell you, when you're immediately obedient, and you receive the blessings from God for that obedience, it strengthens your faith. It strengthens your desire to be more obedient. Yes, Lord, your way was right. Thank you, Jesus. For the apostles, they were obedient right from the very beginning because they saw God do a miracle. Now, this is the second miracle that God has done in their lives, and so they're getting used to God's miracles, God's protection. We certainly won't want to trust in that always because God's way will always override our way. But we need to trust them to do it right. God to do it right. So in verse 22, it says, when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison door shut securely and guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Verse 24, now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, look at this, they wondered what the outcome would be. They wondered what could this mean? These guys are so hard-hearted that Jesus Christ could have been standing right in front of them, speaking clearly to them, and they still would have missed it. We understand exactly what happened, don't we? God's in control. God's taking care of his people. Is God, do you sense God taking care of you? Do you see God's hand of protection upon your life, upon your finances, upon your family? Listen, bad things happen to Christians, right? But you should still see God's hand in the midst of it. There's a dear friend of ours who had a baby prematurely. And I can't remember how early, but the baby was in the hospital for over 3 months. And you look at that and you might ask, God, why did you allow that? Why did that have to happen? Why did they have to struggle? But I love the fact that this mom and dad on this side of this situation are going, this is our miracle baby. We've seen it happen in our fellowship already, but it's happening again in another family. They see it as God's miracle. And when you are a Spirit-filled Christian, you will see things in life differently, won't you? This council is looking at it from a physical aspect instead of the spiritual aspect. They are fighting against Christ and his followers, and instead of going, this is the Lord, this is God's doing, let these guys do what they want, they're like, what's going to come of this? Guys, let's make sure our hearts are always sensitive to the voice of God. Let's make sure that we never, I wrote this down in my notes, when you are determined on doing what you want to do, you will never submit to what God wants to do. When there's something that you want so bad in this life, I don't care how loud God speaks, you're going to tone him out. And that's what the Jewish council was. They were so deaf to the Spirit, and these are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the day. But they are rejecting the very truth in front of their eyes. Notice it says in verse 25, so one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people, doing the very thing you said not to do. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. To me, that's a very sad verse in the Bible. To think that there are those that fear man more than they fear God. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Do you love Jesus so much that you fear him more than anything on this earth? Truly. That you're really submitted to God. As they looked and they were going to get the apostles because they didn't like what they were doing. They took them without violence because they were afraid of what the people would say. Now, wouldn't you think as the apostles, I mean, they've got the crowd. Remember, there were many that were coming to the Lord at that time. They were sharing the truth of God. Many people were getting saved. And as the religious leaders were taking them away, you would almost think that they would raise their voices and say, are you going to let them take us? But here's the thing. If they had done that, then they would be taking control from God. And sometimes in our life, listen, it takes an amazing amount of discernment to know when to use your authority and when not to, isn't it? I mean, the Apostle Paul, he went a long time with beatings before he said, hey, are you supposed to do this to a Roman citizen? Because we must make sure that we're in the center of God's will. And I think the apostles, because they've been praying so much, because they've been seeking God, they've been used by God, they're going, we're going to let this ride out. And sometimes we have to, as believers, go through a difficult season for God to get what he wants. Right? Unfortunately. It's not something we write books about. The struggles in our lives. But your struggles in your lives reveal God's heart, reveal God's will, reveal God's power in your life. What a great testimony it is of the apostles to say they willingly submitted to it and they trusted God with it. Again, that's why I believe they were willing to die for their faith. They're not going to cause a riot. They're not going to create a ruckus. So humility in the heart of a believer, to me, is an act of obedience. Because their past experiences of the power of God had filled them with faith for the present. Don't forget that. Their past experiences with the power of God helped them with their faith in the present. Sometimes we're always looking for the miraculous right now, God, right now. What are you doing now, God? What are you going to do next, God? Instead of looking back going, look what God has done. Have you ever looked at your past and go, wow, I am so thankful God did that. That encourages you for the present. And that helps you be obedient. Believe in God even in the midst of a difficult situation. Certainly take it to prayer. Certainly ask people to be praying for you. But when you're going through something difficult, make sure you're being sensitive to how God is working. That's what these apostles did. They submitted to that. Their trust was in God and in God alone. I like that. And I need to be reminded of that. We need to exercise that. The fact that they feared people more than God shows me that there was compromise in their life. And when you start trying to be a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser, you're compromising your faith. You should always want to please God more than anything. Verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Lord Jesus, help us all to be known as people that fill our town with the love of Christ. I love that. It says, and look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Do you understand the obedience in that statement? Jesus told the disciples and the apostles to go and preach the gospel, and that's the very thing they were doing. And they filled Jerusalem with the doctrine of Christ. Man, I want to be known as a person. I want to be accused as the one spreading the love of Christ. Don't you? Don't you? Oh, let it be that way. See, I want to remind you of this psalm. Psalm 119, or 118, verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I think the apostles had this verse in their heart. They were not fearful. They did not believe God could, or man could do anything to them. They were in the will of God. Are you this morning in the will of God? And are you spreading the good news? Guys, we are in the days where more and more people need to hear the good news of Christ. There's so much pressure. There's so much tension in our world today. But we need to be spreading the good news. You know, I have a news feed that I follow through. You know how news is. It's all bad news. And it's a rocking chair. I was like, that's a big rat. Sorry, that's the first thing I think about because I've had rats in my attic before. That's hilarious.
I think it was his head.
Yeah. Now I got to remember what I was saying. Notice it says at the end of verse 28, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. They aren't even willing to say the name of Jesus. They aren't even willing to say Jesus. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is the only name that blesses people and ruffles a lot of feathers? Right? Buddha, Allah, Name of God. Go ahead. Everybody's cool with that. Hey, that's okay. But say the name of Jesus, right? I can't tell you the number of, pastors that have been invited to open up certain meetings with prayer and have been told, but you can't say the name Jesus. You can pray and we can invite God, but don't say Jesus. Just don't. It'll ruffle too many feathers. Do you know what that tells me? That Jesus Christ is real. The name above all names. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Guys, we believe in the one true God. And if they're going to tell us not to say the name of Jesus, that should tell us all the more to say the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't be ashamed to say the name of Jesus. I had a friend that whenever he would find himself struggling with a temptation, he said he would say out loud three times solely the name. He'd say, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. And by the third time he got to that Jesus, I'm sure he would say it a lot slower than that, but by the third time he said it, the temptation would be gone. There's power in the name of Jesus. They didn't believe it. Notice what Peter does. Look at this, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Does that sound like someone who's afraid of these guys? Doesn't, does it? Doesn't. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance, look at this, to Israel, speaking right to them, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And when we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Oh, wow. Powerful. Peter and the apostles. Notice it says, with the other apostles. They all were in unison. They were all were in agreement. They're going to speak the truth. They're going to speak it in love, but it's going to be the truth. Their lives are at stake. They're not afraid. They are being obedient to what God has called them to be, to do. Listen, the reality is, obedience must be to God alone. Their obedience was to God. Those guys could have killed them. They could have. We're going to see what they're going to do to them in a minute, and it's severe. But they're not afraid of it. They're going to speak the truth. They're going to be obedient. And even Peter says it. We ought to obey God rather than men. And that, in my heart, in my mind, had to be the hardest thing for them to hear. The religious leaders who thought they were serving God said we ought to serve God rather. I mean, that's bringing the conviction on them. They're not serving God. They're serving themselves. They're worried about their organization. They're worried about their religious tradition. Instead of submitting to the truth, and Peter just powerfully says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered. And I want you to remember this. When you see this verse, you're going to remember it. When they crucified Christ, the crowd said this, and all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. They willingly accepted it. And now they're recanting on that because they're worried about bringing the accusations upon them. As if they did it, they did do it. God allowed it, but they did it. That's the reality. They accepted it. Notice Peter so wonderfully says, by hanging on a tree. Now, you got to understand Peter. He understood the Old Testament. And in Deuteronomy 21, write this down. I didn't put it up overhead. Verse 22 and 23, it says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree. But you shall surely bury him that day so that you do not defile the land which your Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Listen, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. So Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23. Notice how I picked up on that. Peter is saying, you sentenced him to death, you murdered him, you hung him on the tree, which in God's sight is the worst possible death. Cursed for anyone who is hung on a tree. Peter is really bringing on the conviction into their hearts. He is not holding back one bit. Guys, we would do ourselves well to know the Word of God so well that we can lovingly correct the world that we live in. We don't need to be a church. We don't need to be Christians that kick back when someone pushes a little pressure on us. We need to know how to answer the truth that's in our hearts. And when you know the Word of God well enough, as Peter did, he was able to say, Jesus, who you hung on a tree, murdered and hung on a tree, which is the worst possible thing, worst possible punishment for the Romans, worst possible judgment for the Jews. So there's nothing worse that they could have done. He was pouring on the conviction. These disciples were not afraid of death. Not in the least. Otherwise, they would say, okay, we won't talk about him anymore. That's all they wanted to do was talk about Jesus. And notice, it says that they were witnesses of those things and the Holy Spirit. Whew. Peter brought the truth of what happened to Christ. Guys, do you understand what happened to your Savior? Do you understand what happened to Jesus? It is our job to proclaim the truth, even to those who think they know the truth. See, these religious leaders were thinking, who are you to tell us to repent? They didn't think they had sin in their lives. Ouch. I find it a lot better to go, I'm a sinner, and I'm saved by grace, and I need Jesus. Don't you? Every day, The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's not saying get yourself saved every day. That's just making yourself aware of your salvation that's been given to you by Christ. And Peter was pouring it on heavy. But the last thing, not only is obedience should be immediate, not only should it only be to God, but the last thing, it should be rewarding. Look with me in verse 33. We'll read through the end. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. This is the first time we see that they wanted to kill the apostles. First, they just wanted them to stop. But now they're mad because of what they just heard. They were really convicted, and they wanted to kill them. Verse 34, then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, okay, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles aside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. Remember, they want to kill them. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Wouldn't we say, thank God for Gamaliel? We would, right? He's given good, sound advice, isn't it? But here's the reality. It's not great advice. The greater advice for Gamaliel, a man of God, studied in the law, after seeing and witnessing the apostles escape from prison miraculously, wouldn't it have been better for Gamaliel to say, guys, you need to stop what you're doing. These guys are speaking for God, and Jesus Christ is real, right? See, we read this story of Gamaliel, and all my whole life I've read it. Oh, yeah, Gamaliel, sound advice. But you know what Gamaliel is saying? Give it some time. Let's see what happens. And my friends, if we are people that just are always waiting to see what happens, we'll never do anything, right? So many are waiting for God to do this, are waiting for an answer, or wait. No. Let's be proactive. Let's be active in our faith. I would love Gamaliel to stand up and go, what have we been doing? This is the Messiah. This is Jesus. These apostles are willing to die for him. And it's like, oh, yes, Gamaliel, great advice. Hold off, wait. But I'm telling you, I have always said patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. Patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. If it's not God, time will tell. But if it is God, time will be wasted. Understand? So that's why it's so important to understand God's word. That's why it's so important to know his voice and to be obedient to it. They were obedient to it even to the point of death. They were willing to do it. Gamaliel, yes, great advice. But notice it says down in verse 38, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or his work is of God. If. He wasn't convinced. Are you convinced in the power of God? Are you convinced in the salvation of Christ? Are you convinced that he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Are you convinced that he will open doors that no man can shut and close doors no man can open? Are you convinced that you know without a shadow of a doubt? Because as soon as you start, that's wishy-washy. And Gamaliel was more concerned for himself than he was for God. So yes, I thank you for Gamaliel, but he really didn't give great advice. Because look at the next verse. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I want you to circle the word beaten in your Bible in verse 40, and alongside it write the word skinned. The apostles were flogged just like Jesus. The word in the original language means that to rip skin, to tear skin, just like Jesus was beaten almost unto death. So guys, this wasn't the religious leaders going, now stop doing that. This was severe. This was severe punishment. They were trying to instill fear into the apostles, into the lives of the apostles. But notice in verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. I can assure you they weren't thankful that they got beat. But they identified with what had happened to Jesus, and they said they were rejoicing in the fact that they got to suffer for Christ. Guys, obedience must be rewarding, even when it's difficult. It's got to be rewarding. Notice it says they rejoiced. They were thankful, and they did not stop teaching. They were willing to submit to God and do what God wanted them to do. Jesus told them this too, and he tells it to us. Mark 13, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. What a powerful testimony to this council that they nearly beat these guys to death. And the very next day, they're out there preaching Christ still. Their threats did not affect the faith of believers. What can man do to us? How much can you take? I know we all say, you know, our struggles, we've never struggled to the point of death. We've never struggled to the point of shedding blood as Jesus did. But the apostles were thankful. They rejoiced in the fact that they were able to suffer for Christ. It's an amazing picture. The disciples didn't stop preaching. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Don't give up on being obedient no matter how hard it is. Sometimes we think, well, I'll just let this go, or I'll just give up on it. No, don't give up. Be faithful to God because he is faithful to you. Spurgeon, I'll leave you with this. Spurgeon spoke of this kind of bold heart as the disciples had. He says, live bravely for him who died lovingly for you. Yes. If you get your eyes off of Christ, if you get your eyes off of the Word, if you get your eyes off of the truth, it will be easy to compromise. But when your eyes are on your Savior, when your eyes are on the one who overcame death, who willingly went to the cross for you, despising its shame, because he saw the benefit on the other side of the cross, then you will find strength. The Holy Spirit will empower you to be obedient. Yes, to the point of death. But I don't think God will ask a lot of us to give our lives, to die and for our faith. But if he did, I want to be one to say, I'll do it, Lord, because you've been so good to me. And that's how we started this. We believe God is good. And if he is good, we too should serve him and be obedient to him. This week, I encourage you, be obedient immediately. Be obedient only to God. And be obedient and trust the rewards that come from being obedient. Well done, good and faithful servant, are for those who are obedient to the very end. Father, we thank you for your word. How grateful we are, Lord, to see the apostles, Peter, and just being faithful no matter the circumstances. And I confess, God, before you and before all hills here, Lord, sometimes I want to give up. Sometimes it gets to be too hard. But Lord, this is just a great reminder to never give up. That there are greater days ahead. On the other side of this life, there is eternal life. A And you lived here and made the example of obedience to the Heavenly Father. So Jesus, we thank you for that. So as followers of you and followers of Christ, we pray that you would help us, Lord. That you would speak into our lives. That when we read the word, we would understand what it says and it would bring us encouragement. So that in the time of testing, in the time of temptation, that we will be strong, that we will be obedient, that we will obey the truth, so that we would be a living testimony. So remind us this week that you are always there with us. What can man do to us when we have you? We love you, Lord. We bless your holy name. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.